if you don't add this one thing to your business, it will not scale. Or if it does scale, it's probably going to unravel pretty quickly. Hey, I'm Scott Beckford, and this is the Out of Mortgage Brokering Podcast. Every week, I do a short 10-minute episode where I share with you a tactic to help you grow your business. This week, I'm actually taking a training from my Bricks, from our mortgage company, that I thought would be really useful for you. And it's a lesson that I wish I had learned a long time ago. But in it, I share how I made a $6,000 mistake. It actually cost me a lot more than $6,000 because I lost a client and a great realtor partner, and how you can avoid it. So this is, you're going to hear me sort of switch. I might sound a little younger because I think I recorded this a couple years ago, but it's still absolutely relevant. I had to listen to it and I was like, oh, this is good stuff. So I think hopefully you find it useful. At the end, I'll give you a quick wrap up on what to do next once you get this information. Before we jump into that, I'm going to give a shout out to our title sponsor, Finmo. Finmo is a Canadian mortgage application, document collection, submission platform designed specifically for Canadian borrowers. It's very easy for brokers to use, which is what I like about it. It's got cool features like smart docs. It knows what docs your client needs based on how they fill out the app. It's got a secure portal for people to upload documents. One of the things most people don't realize is that when somebody's filling out a mortgage app, they often grab documents in order to do it. And if it's really easy, they just give you the documents at the same time. And we see that happening again and again. It's also connected to Lender Spotlight, which is the best tool for searching for rates and guidelines. Check them out at lendesk.com/finmo and check out this recording I did of the importance of checklists. In this training, I'm going to talk about the secrets to scaling your business. And so last week we talked about mapping out your customer journey, making sure that you have clearly defined stages for your customer journey. And so if you don't have that done yet, do not go any further. Go back, finish that first, because this won't make sense unless you have that done. So make sure, it's really important, you've got your customer journey mapped out, you've sent it to us for review, and that customer journey has clearly defined stages. So whether that's lead, you know, contacted, or discovery call, pre-approval, all those different states. We need to have all those stages mapped out along with your customer journey. If it's not done, go back, make sure it's done, and then proceed to this. So those are if you want to scale your business, one of the key things you need to be able to do is have a very consistent customer experience. And so how do you be like Starbucks? Like if you go to a Starbucks, it's not like each one of them is a little bit different, and sometimes the coffee's cold, sometimes it's very consistent. And one of the reasons Starbucks can scale is because they have you as a customer know that you, no matter where you are, which airport and what city, that you know what to expect when you go there. And so how do you do that in your mortgage business? It's very simple. You have to have a checklist for every single stage of your business, and you cannot rely on just your memory and your mind to be like, I can keep track of this. Because as you scale, the purpose of, you're going to have a team, and we need your team to do it the way that you want it done, and not sort of how they feel like it in the moment or how they remember to do it. And so I just want to give you some examples of why checklists are so, so powerful. So there's a great book called The Checklist Manifesto, and it has some great examples of how checklists make things like in healthcare and, you know, a whole bunch of different areas incredibly more effective. So there was a Keystone Initiative done, and it was done over 18 months. And this was in hospitals, and they found that this is in ICUs in hospitals, they had IV infections. So you had to change an IV every few days. And if you didn't do it right, there's about 4 or 5 steps every time you make the change. And if you did something wrong, the person could get an infection and die. And so it's pretty serious, right? And so they thought, okay, how do we solve this problem? People are dying, or they're getting way sicker, which costs the hospital and the patient way more money. And so how do we fix this problem? And so somebody came up with the idea, why don't we create a checklist for when you swap out IVs, and we'll make everybody use it. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor, nurse, whoever. And there was a lot of resistance to this. And there was, people were like, hey, I'm a doctor, I've been in school for, you know, 10 years, and you're telling me I need to use this stupid checklist to just change it on IV, something I've done hundreds of times. And so what they did was they followed them around. They just observed, they didn't do anything. And about 33% of the time, they actually had skipped a step. So even though it's 4 or 5 steps, and it's very simple to swap out an IV, they would skip a step. And the reason that not happened is because you got to imagine in a hospital, people get interrupted, right? The patient interrupts you, somebody walks in and interrupts you, maybe over the microphone, hey, we've got a code blue going on. And so because of the dynamic nature of a hospital environment, even a very simple thing like swapping out an IV became a big problem. And so one of the key things what they did was they put this checklist in place, these 18, and these hospitals that were in the Michigan area said, okay, fine, we'll do it. you know what, you've convinced us that this makes sense. And so they ended up doing this for 18 months. And so the results were they had saved over 1,500 lives that are people that wouldn't have died because the infection rates dropped so much. And they calculated about $175 million in savings over 18 months just because of a simple checklist. And these are smart people. So just like people in the mortgage business, you know, you're smart, you know your business. But when you make little mistakes, you A, burn referral partners, B, you know, lose clients that could have sent you their friends or won't come back to you. So the same idea, you have to have checklists for every stage. I'll give you one other example. And so there was a plane built, Boeing built a plane for the Americans. They said, hey, we need a plane designed that's going to carry X amount of bombs and it's going to travel this distance. So they came out with this, it ended up being the B-17. And so the Boeing had this plane and it carried twice as many bombs and traveled twice as far. And they were like, holy crap, this thing is amazing. And no one else had anything even close in terms of capacity and distance. And so the day of the flight test, they had them come out and do this flight test. They had their four, you know, they had their best pilots. They got in the plane, they took off. The plane veered to the side and then just literally crashed and two people died in the crash immediately. And they're like, holy crap. So this plane sounds great. It's got, you know, a way bigger payload and distance, but it crashed. And so they went back and they figured out what happened. And it was actually pilot error. They said, oh, you know what? It was pilot error. It wasn't the plane. And so they bought a few of the planes. They ended up, it almost bankrupted Boeing, but they took some other planes, a competitor's planes, but they got a few of them. And then some pilots got together and said, hey, can we figure out how to fly this plane? Like, what happened? How can we fly this plane? And they had called it like in the media and the newspaper at the time, they said this was too much plane for one person to fly. So it was basically like, hey, we've built this amazing thing, but nobody knows how to use it. And so they thought, oh, should we get better training? Should we, you know, what can we do to make it work? And this is where they came up with the pre-flight checklist. So they said, you know what it is there's a whole bunch of little steps that need to happen. You got to have every single lever flipped. You got to have the flaps up. And if you miss one of them, then catastrophe can happen. And so they created the pre-flight checklist, which is now in every single plane. And it was because this plane was becoming too complex. You know, the original planes were dangerous, but they weren't complex. It was like backing a car out of your garage. You just had to pay attention. It wasn't complicated. Now, if you miss something, the plane would not work or it would crash. And so they created a pre-flight checklist. And then after putting this into place, they had 1.8 million flights with zero accidents. Now, that doesn't mean there were planes shot down, but there were no accidents due to pilot error because of the pre-flight checklist that they put into place to make sure that there was no mistakes. And so in your mortgage business, it's the same thing. A lot of times I talk to people and they say, you know what, I can't get somebody to help me because, you know, they're not going to do it the same. People come to me. And if you think of like your business, like a restaurant, hey, they want me to cook it because I'm the only one who can do it. That is false. If you actually map out how you want your process done and you create a checklist for someone to follow, they can actually do it probably, you know, maybe not 100% as close as you, but pretty darn close, 90, 95%, which is absolutely fine. They will be able to replicate what you do. And so in the mortgage business is the same thing. People go, well, I don't need that. I keep track of this stuff in my head. Smart people need checklists. We get interrupted all the time. You know, the phone rings, we're working through a file and the phone rings and there's a fire we got to put out, or an email comes in with, you're working on it and you see this email pop up and it's a decline. You're like, oh, or there's an appraisal problem. And you're like, holy crap. Or somebody walks into your office. It's no different than the doctor who's really smart. And if you put them in a test environment and said, show me how to do a IV, you know, swap out an IV, they would nail it 100% of the time. But the real world isn't work that way. The real world has interruptions. The real world has distractions. And so in order to make sure that your process is tight, you need to create checklists. And so we're going to show you some tools that are really simple that people who are not techie at all have been able to use to create a checklist system that allows their business to scale, allows them to ensure they can look at, know at any moment where their files are at and what's outstanding and what's missing, and to make sure that their team and staff actually does it the way they do it. And so I want to give you a last example on this. So for me, we had a $6,000 mistake. So I had, the way my process worked was I would have the, you know, my assistant, my client care manager would be reaching out to the pre-approval thing. The pre-approval goes live. So now we get the offer in, you know, I call the client, do a quick review. Great. We're going to submit it. And so we have this offer, we submit it, we get it approved 2 days before subject removal. We get the lender says, hey, wait a second, this is a bank sale. It says right on the offer, it says bank sale. And I didn't, on the listing, it didn't say it was a foreclosure or a bank sale. The realtor didn't mention it. The client didn't mention it. And I was like, oh crap, we have 2 days. We have to get an appraisal. Can we get an extension? Unfortunately, no extension offered. There was a backup offer. So the client lost the property, which then they were mad at me because we didn't ask them for a, you know, that we didn't tell them that we could have ordered an appraisal if we would have been aware of it. And the realtor was mad at me because the realtor was like, hey, you know what? You dropped the ball here. You basically lost this property my clients wanted. Now the realtor doesn't want work with me. So that was that. And that was a $6,000 commission gone, vaporized. And so when I went back and looked at this, I said, okay, how do we eliminate this? It was like the plane crashed, right? Like it was nobody died, but it was essentially like it was a little mini plane crash. So we went back and we created a checklist, and that checklist was designed so that when my assistant keyed in the offers, she knew to look at things like who the seller was the close date on a weekend, you know, were there any other conditions? So she would go through a checklist to ensure that she would catch the stuff. Cause it's our job. If the client doesn't mention it, they weren't being deceitful. The realtor probably, if they should have mentioned it. But again, at the end of the day, I'm the one who's going to lose the referral partner. I'm the one who's going to lose the client. So it's on me to put a process in place. And so we put in a simple checklist and never had that problem again. And so and that's what happens. As you start to build out your business, you'll design these checklists. When errors and mistakes happen, you're going to put in a checklist and say, okay, you know what? You live and learn. We made a mistake there. Let's learn from it and move on. And you put in a checklist. Now, the key thing here is if your team members don't want to follow a checklist, then you may have, and if it happens repeatedly where you say, here's the checklist, this is how I want it done, and they don't follow it, then you have a person problem, not a process problem. But if you have no checklist in place and this stuff happens, it's your fault. It's not your team's fault. It's your fault. But once that process is in place and they understand how they're supposed to do it, if they don't follow it, then you may have to look at replacing a team member, which can happen. But the point is that you have to have a checklist for every stage. So the checklists are absolutely critical to scale your business. So in the next videos, we're going to show you very, very simple ways to set up checklists that you can use, that you can share with your team so that everybody can see what's going on with the file and that you can look at any time, even if you haven't been, you know, talking to the client in 2 weeks, you can know exactly where it's at. And so check this out, this next training, and absolutely, you have to start implementing checklists. It is critical for you to scale.
Hey, thanks again for listening. And hopefully, you know, thinking about this, if doctors who've got tons of education, way more than the average mortgage broker, you can literally save lives by having a simple checklist in place for something that they do every day. Imagine you put this into your mortgage business, how it can actually help. And the same thing with these planes that were so complex. You know, the mortgage business is complex. It's far more complex when I started in 2006, and it's only probably going to get more complex. And so I would strongly urge you to start using checklists in your mortgage business. And so as I talked about, the first step to this whole thing is map your customer journey. Even if it's kind of clunky to start, think of it like your recipe. So you basically map out everything that happens from first contact to client for life, step by step. Then you identify, you break them into stages. So I think of stages or milestones, so you can figure out, okay, these stages are key points. And if you get really smart, if you listen to my other podcasts, some brokers are actually using video communications at stages. So the file moves from stage to stage. And then the next step is actually to create checklists for each stage. That way it happens the same every time. And it doesn't matter if you're doing it, your assistant's doing it, somebody in your team is doing it, the files actually happen. Everything, you know, all the boxes get checked and you'll have way less errors and you'll make more money in the end. So hopefully you enjoyed that. As I always say, there's no problem in your mortgage business that someone else hasn't resolved. Your challenge is like, who's got the answer? Thanks for listening. And if you haven't already, please go follow me on Instagram. I share tactics on there all the time that don't fit into these shows. Check that out, Scott Peckford on Instagram. And thanks again, and I will see you soon.